This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we go. It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It's time to get to the bottom of this Mavs offseason. So exciting, so intriguing as Bobby Carolla, DLLS Mavericks, joining us now. All city here on The Fan. And a good afternoon slash evening to you, sir. How the heck are you?
Gentlemen, I'm good. It feels like it's been freaking ages. I'm ready to talk some basketball.
Man, it has been. We need to have you on more often, Bobby. If it was up to me, we definitely would. Let me ask you this. How sure are you Jason Kidd will be the coach at the start of the season?
Man, it really depends on who you ask and when you ask him. You know, Mark Stein is on our show, and he has insisted basically from the get-go that this is just kind of one-way interest. The Knicks want J. Kidd more than J. Kidd wants to leave. Mark swears that J. Kidd is all in on being the Mavs coach. Tim Cato is also on our show, and he's heard different. And now we're seeing national reporters say different things and, you know, classifying this interest as mutual and saying that J. Kidd might have a wandering eye. You know, as I see it, I think the offseason is in every sport really is full of posturing, but in the NBA more than any. And so it wouldn't surprise me if J. Kidd might be playing this up a little bit just to, you know, maybe secure a nice little raise or another year on the other side of his extension that he just signed last year, just to get a little more security and stability moving forward. But, I mean, it really depends on who you ask.
What have you learned about the how and the why Jason Kidd, you know, might not be totally satisfied with the job here?
Man, I mean, just to put my own – I'm trying to get in J. Kidd's mind as I'm saying this. I look at the Mavs situation – you know, Kyrie almost certainly is going to re-sign this summer, you know, get a new contract. But he's also almost certainly going to miss at least half of next season, if not more. And, you know, once you start getting to the point where your only point guard on the roster of note, you know, they also have Brandon Williams and maybe they'll bring in some guys in free agency. But your only real, you know, starting caliber, star caliber guard is going to miss 50 or 60 games. It becomes really tough to envision this team, you know, making it into the top six. They might be able to sneak into the playoff by way of the play-in, unless Cooper Flagg really is all that. And Anthony Davis has the healthiest year of his career, and they're able to make some big free agency moves or whatever. But as it stands right now, this situation looks a little tenuous. And, you know, there's a huge portion of the fan base that is still really upset about the Luka trade and about the way that basically everything went down last year. And so I could forgive J. Kidd for looking at the situation and saying, hey, a year from now, the choice might not be mine. The choice might be Patrick DeMont's, or the choice might be Nico's. You know, if this thing, you know, the Mavs themselves have said, we're trying to win a championship within the next 3 years, and they already struck out this year. If they miss next year too, then there might be some changes. And so, you know, I wouldn't blame anyone for kind of looking around and just saying, hey, if I can get to a better situation or a more stable situation and maybe make some more money along the way, I mean, I got to check it out. So that could be all it is, but it also could be, you know, more complicated than that.
So what could the Mavericks realistically even get back that would warrant them saying, all right, fine, let's do this? Or is it just, hey, if a coach doesn't want to be here, then adios.
Man, if it were me, I would make a trade. You know, Rick Carlisle was basically, I don't know, I don't remember exactly how the Mavs described it at the time in 2021 when Rick left to be the coach of the Pacers, but essentially it was kind of like a mutual parting of ways, and Mark Cuban kind of let Rick out of his contract, and so he was able to sign with Indiana basically as like a coaching version of a free agent. The Mavs did not get anything back for Rick. Now, it sure would have been nice to have an extra pick somewhere along the way to make a trade. I'm looking at the Knicks' incoming picks, you know, the future picks that they have. They've traded a lot of their own picks to try and make their team better, but in 2026, so next year, they have the Washington Wizards' first-round pick. The Wizards are terrible. That pick is top 10 protected, so it almost certainly will not fall outside the top 10. If it doesn't, it becomes Washington's second-round pick in 2026 and 2027. So the Mavs could score either like a low lottery, maybe like late teens pick if Washington just shocks the world, or they could get two pretty good second-rounders over the next 2 years, which if I was Nico and I was the Mavs and I was actually negotiating a coaching trade, like that is the only pick that I would care about. The Knicks can keep the rest of them because they're a good team. Their picks are all going to be lousy, but Washington's picks are almost certainly going to be very good, and those have value either by way of trade or just drafting a player, say 35th overall in the draft, and you only have to pay him like $1 or $2 million a year to give you, you know, pretty good minutes. So I would target that pick specifically. Nothing else that they have interests me.
Bobby, how do you expect them to approach the point guard position? You mentioned the Kyrie Irving injury. Everybody knows they're looking for a ball handler. What do you think is their plan of action there?
I honestly cannot begin to tell you. You know, they, in order to basically make any moves of note this summer, they have to shed a little bit of money off their payroll to get under the second apron. There's a whole bunch of restrictions that come with being above the second apron. Right now, they're about $1 million above. And so if they can make one player disappear, it opens up a little more optionality. That's whenever you can start getting into giving guys, you know, the mid-level exception and doing sign and trades and things like that. Assuming they're able to make that happen, which I believe that they will, they could pursue guys at the minimum. You know, a big popular name among Mavs fans has been Chris Paul, but he's kind of gone on record saying he really likes it in California. And, you know, for all the Mavs fans that think they're moving to Vegas, well, they haven't made the move to Vegas yet. So I think Chris Paul is probably out of the picture. Another guy that's come up is Dennis Schroeder. You know, he obviously has turned down big deals in the past and ended up getting stuck playing for the minimum. But he had such a good year with Detroit this year and with Golden State before that, that he's almost certainly going to get, you know, a big, juicy, long-term deal. Otherwise, you're getting into names like, you know, veteran journeymen like Malcolm Brogdon, you know, someone like that. And that doesn't really move the needle for me. I would be more interested in exploring the trade market. A guy like Lonzo Ball from Chicago could be gettable, and I really like his game, even though he's dealt with a ton of injuries over the last few years. Jrue Holiday and Derek White from Boston, you know, maybe one of those guys gets moved. But, you know, based on the latest reports, Boston wants picks for Jrue Holiday. He's like 35 years old, and he's going to be making that many $1 million. That is a hefty contract for an aging player, and so I'm not really that interested in that. But I would be super interested in Derek White. But, you know, they don't have as many options as I think fans would like. But, you know, the most optimistic timeline for Kyrie is coming back sometime maybe in January, which means you only need a guard for like half the season just to get you through until then. But that's a really dangerous game because setbacks happen, back-to-backs happen, 80s own injuries will almost certainly happen. And so I'm not looking for a guy that can just hold the fort down while Kyrie's gone. I want the Mavs to get a guy that can carry them with or without Kyrie.
Bobby Corella, DLLS, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. So you're working with a who's who. You know, you got Mark Stein. You got our buddy Tim Cato. Obviously, you're a freaking legend yourself. Is there any
Kevin Gray, too.
KKG, Kevin Gray, of course, one of our alumni here at 105.3 The Fan. What's up with Nico? Is there like a power struggle here with Jason Kidd? Like, is there anything to Bob Myers being a consultant? Could they end up firing Nico if it ends up being like a Nico or Jason Kidd, and then Bob Myers ends up being the GM here, for instance?
That's tough. You know, 2 months ago, I would have said absolutely 0% chance of anything like that happening. But once you get the number one pick, you win the lottery, you get Cooper Flagg, suddenly this job becomes a whole lot more attractive to executives from all levels of experience. You know, I was thinking, you know, right after the season ends and the fire Nico fervor has reached its height, I'm thinking, man, this job just, I don't think that any super good, talented, highly paid GM would look at this situation and say, I want in, because you have an aging roster with an injured superstar in Kyrie and an injury prone superstar in Anthony Davis. And then a lot of guys on the wrong side of 30, but now you have Flagg. And if a change is made, you would almost certainly have carte blanche to rework the entire roster and take it whatever direction you want to go. You want to rebuild around Flagg, you want to retool around Flagg, you can do that. And so I think it is a more attractive job, but that's a long way away. I mean, Patrick DeMont seems pretty committed to Nico at this point. I know that might not be music to many Mavs fans' ears, but today that is the word. But if they start slow or they miss the playoffs next year, then maybe a change is made. However, kind of been one of those situations where if a change is made, it's only being made because they failed, which means the job isn't maybe as attractive as we thought. And so, you know, you want to create a situation where any sort of successor, whether that's at GM or at head coach or at star alongside Cooper Flagg, it's a good situation, a stable situation, a secure situation that they're coming into, because there is so much, even to this day, there is still so much off court emotion, heat, and tension among the fan base and the basketball community here in Dallas, where it would be really tough for me to take the job, you know, just because of how, you know, how much just heat and angst there is among this fan base still.
It's Bobby Corella.
And I'm not blaming that on the fans. It is very well deserved by the Mavs.
Well said. Do you see timelines as being off as far as Flagg so young and Davis Irving being over 30, like you said there? Or is Flagg, you know, capable of having an all-NBA type of impact at 19?
All-NBA is tough, but I do think that dude is a legit bona fide defender right now. And you don't see that very often among rookies. Especially at his position, wing, where he's probably going to be switching quite a bit. But he has the technique, he has the want to, the desire, the intensity, the athleticism, the length, the IQ, the know-how, all of that stuff to be on ball, off ball, rebound, get out, run the floor, everything. That dude is a defensive freak. I think playing alongside AD, and especially Kyrie once he comes back, let's say the Mavs want to do this two-timeline thing, I think playing alongside them early in his career would be pretty good for him, because he did score quite a bit at Duke, but I don't know, just scoring 20 points a game in college is different than scoring 20 in the NBA. And what I would hate to do is throw a rookie in a situation where he's got to be your leading scorer or even your second leading scorer, like every night. Like, I want him, if he has a 20 point game, that's great. Hey, hats off. You did good, kid. I want him to think about defense, knocking down open shots, and then finding a couple go-to moves and then counters to those moves, like, in time. If you play alongside AD, he's got it going. He might draw double teams. Kyrie's going to be, you know, spoon feeding you good looks on a silver platter. I think that, you know, some of these other guys on the team, Clay, whenever he gets going, has that kind of effect. You know, Najee Marshall is a pretty good playmaker. Like, these guys, even though they're older, can make his life easier offensively to begin with. And that could pay dividends later. I mean, even a guy like Luka, you know, he didn't totally take over the Mavs offense until late in his rookie year and mostly into his second season. And I think, honestly, that was a favor to him, because he kind of got to figure out how everything works. You know, and with Cooper, the learning curve might be different on both sides of the ball. But I don't mind a two timelines thing on offense early. But if it doesn't work in the win column, then they're probably not going to stick with it for too long anyway.
So what's your overall Cooper Flagg excitement? What's the comp for you? What do you think the ceiling is for a guy like this? Do you expect him to be an MVP-type candidate whenever he's in the prime of his career?
Man, I think best-case scenario, you're looking at a guy that every single possession, he is making a positive impact on defense, whether that is backside, weak-side rim deterrence or, you know, on-ball prowess, making a guy uncomfortable, getting physical, bringing an attitude to that end of the floor that can be infectious and also that you'd want to build around. And so that alone is very valuable. Offensively, I think his upside, you know, we were spoiled watching Luka come in and basically average almost 30 a game as a 20-year-old. I don't know this to be true, but I wouldn't expect Cooper Flagg to ever average 30 points a game. But he could be a 20, 25 point per game scorer for sure. You know, once he develops a little better, more consistent ISO game, you know, he's already a pretty good three-point shooter, and I think he can be a very good three-point shooter. And then obviously, you know, he's got the size to finish around the rim. So I think he can be a pretty competent scorer. You know, one comp I saw for him that I thought was really interesting was Kawhi. If he can be that kind of defender and that kind of offensive player, and Kawhi's been the centerpiece of some really darn good teams in his career. Obviously, injuries have derailed that, and hopefully that's not the case with Cooper Flagg, but I think he could maybe be that kind of player. Other people compare him to Kevin Garnett. You know, they're different body types. Obviously, KG was a little slimmer, whereas Cooper is probably shorter, but maybe a little sturdier. But that, obviously, Kevin Garnett was an unbelievable player. If he's 50% the player that Kevin Garnett was, I'd be over the moon. So I think somewhere along the lines of there, like elite, elite two-way player that is a nightmare defender and also the kind of offensive player that you might not build your whole game plan and identity around, but that you do notice on the floor more often than not.
Bobby Corella with us. It's been 100 days since they traded Luka. In light of that trade, looking at the teams that made the finals, went on deep runs, not only as far as roster construction and salary cap pie, but also style of play, where do you think these trends are heading in the league?
I mean, I've said this for years. I've said it. I mean, Zach, you've heard me say this. Zach and Eric, y'all have heard me say this for like 5-10 years now, almost. Like, you can never have enough playmaking. You can never have enough shooting. You can never have enough versatile, switchable defenders. I mean, those are the three core pieces of any title team. And ideally, you want multiple players that can do two or three of those things. The thing that worries me about the Mavs roster right now, especially without Kyrie, is that they don't have a whole lot of playmaking. They obviously don't have a lot of three-point shooting. And with 80 at the four, and you know whether it's Lively or Gafford at the five, that's not a lot of versatile, switchable defenders. And so you kind of have a stagnant team at both ends of the floor. You look at a team like Indiana, they play at a breakneck pace, but they're so switchable. They're so versatile. Every single guy on the floor can pass, dribble, shoot, you know, out to like almost 30 feet. OKC, same thing. You know, and OKC actually abandoned playing Chet and Isaiah Hartenstein together. They've gone small in the finals, and it hasn't actually worked for them. They're down 2-1, so maybe they go back to playing two bigs, but the Mavs have said two bigs is their identity. You know, the Pacers just ran a 64-win two-big team in Cleveland off the floor in five games last round, or two rounds ago, whenever that was. Like, that's not the model I'm trying to go for. If I'm trying to build a team in the NBA, I want shooting, I want speed, I want playmaking, and I want switchable defense. And right now, the Mavs don't have enough of that for me in any category. Granted, it's only June. There's still a whole, you know, 3-4 months before next season starts, but I'm looking to upgrade in every single one of those areas between now and opening night.
Sounds like you want a couple of trades to overhaul the roster and make it more balanced.
I would not be opposed. Do not tempt me with a good time. you know, and names like a guy like PJ Washington is in trade rumors. Well, he can do a lot of those things. Like, yeah. I really like PJ. He's obviously got a contract to negotiate and stuff, so that could cause some issues. But, you know, a guy like Daniel Gafford, he's also going to be a free agent next summer. You know, he's not really any of those things. And so, you know, as much as it would pain the Mavs to kind of say, all right, this two center thing worked really well for us, we're going to go away from it now. Like, that would be kind of tough for them to do. But if it nets you a good player, then you got to do it. But, you know, they've kind of painted themselves into a corner where in order to get better, they're going to have to give one of their already good players away. And when you didn't even make the playoffs last season, it really hurts to trade away good players.
Thank you so much for your time and insights, Bobby. We'll catch up with you real soon.
Appreciate you guys.
See you, Bobby. Bobby Corella, DLLS Mavs here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Where are we going next, Chief?
We got a little football quotables from the final day of minicamps featuring the number one pick and a big time shots fired.
This podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here in the nation.
Shoot, yeah, the Fan After Dark boys are in. They're ready to rock the house coming up 7 to 11. Looks like Jet's in with them and Kevin. So full house tonight. Fan After Dark coming up at 7 o'clock. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by us, the G-Bag Nation. Please like the video if you're watching on YouTube. Been active in chat throughout the afternoon, hanging out with you guys there. We want to see if we can get to 100 likes before the end of the video. Set a new record here in the G-Bag Nation. What do you say? Here's the Chief.
All right, before we get to football's finest proper, we do need to go ahead and make our selections for the Rocco's 2025 Jello Shot Challenge Omaha with the College World Series. Now, of course, we're going to Grant brought us his LSU Tigers.
Oh, come on.
Obviously, he's going to go ahead and we know that that would be his number one pick. But Lucius, if you want to jump in here
absolutely.
As well. We can go ahead and make our selection who will end up being atop the leaderboard for the Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge. Lucius, do you have a program that you would like to go ahead and make your own?
I mean, is there a list already?
So you got so Coastal Carolina's in the mix here, Arizona, Louisville, UCLA, Arkansas, Broadus's LSU Tigers, you get Oregon State and those Beavers, and then Murray State.
I'm right with Arizona.
Arizona. Okay, we'll put Lucius down for Arizona. It's a good selection. It's a really good one. Anybody else feel good about another program?
So we
I think the only other choice is Arkansas.
Yeah, I think so too.
Really? You guys aren't buying anybody else? No, I mean, think about Murray State. This is Murray State's first time, dude. You don't think they're going to plant that flag in a big way?
I don't think it's a party school. I don't think it's a high population school. So you got to get a lot of baseball fans, and I think you got to be in proximity. Arizona could pull this off because they're a party school within driving distance, but they would be the third most likely behind LSU and Wupig.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I mean, and if you have no faith in Oregon State, I'm sure as hell not saying Oregon State.
Well, I mean, the Oregon State likes to party more than Oregon. I guarantee that. It's an ag school, and it's like a farmer town ag school, not like a, hey, we're fancy engineer farmers. They're like real farmers. So they would do it, but they just don't have a big enough population or enough money to travel. Mm. You know, a lot of pride there. And plus, whenever you're in the Northwest, you're going to be dealing with a lot of micro beer. What do you call those? Craft beers now?
Yeah.
And wine. Be a lot of those drinkers there in that crowd.
That's the flavor choice.
It's not a Jello shot type of, woo, yeah, that's right. Like, that's tech. You know, you put tech in here, they're going to do the Jello shots.
Yeah, they would. They would. They'd be in on that.
All right. Well, I was going to put my Louisville selection in the mix here.
It's not bad. I'd say that's number four. Yeah. They're within driving distance. A lot of sports pride.
Plenty of booze drinkers.
A lot of alumni.
Yeah.
So that'll be my selection.
This is LSU's to lose, though, wouldn't you say?
I would definitely.
100%. Now, we do have the early numbers are in. Murray State actually is in the lead at this point. Now, we're just scratching the surface, but they have 173 Jello shots taken down already.
Hell yeah, Murray State.
Louisville is number two with 151, and then it's brought us as LSU Tigers at 140.
Okay.
So we'll obviously keep track of this. We'll be on the Jello shot Rocco's beat for the remainder of the College World Series. I will go ahead and select Louisville. Okay, now let's go ahead and transition into some football's finest, biggest news of minicamp, according to Joseph Hoyt of All City Dallas DLLS Cowboys. They have crowned their sharpshooting champion in basketball.
Sharpshooter.
Sharp. This is sharp with a P.
Oh, okay.
I like the Sharks.
I like sharp.
I do too. Oh, yeah, the sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter.
I forgot about that from last week.
Sawed off shark guns.
I'm going to get messy.
Okay, so believe it or not, I thought he had too many muscles in his body to have a good jumper. But apparently Sam Williams has been crowned the jump shooting, sharpshooting champion as it pertains to the Cowboys basketball summer activities.
Hell yeah, Sam.
Sam Williams beat Tyler Guyton for the crown.
See, I think Sam might be a little bit flying under the radar here, but that one year he had, like, he made so many plays that I'm like, dude, I don't know if there's anybody more athletic than him in the league.
He's a tremendous athlete.
You know, remember that guy he picked up and, like, body slammed in the backfield?
Gosh,
like,
yes.
He got a flag for
it. It was so unsportsmanlike.
Yeah.
What he did, the disrespect of just absolutely annihilating a 300 pounder.
He's a defensive end that's playing gunner.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's doing special team stuff.
Like, I've never seen that in my life.
But still, for him, the muscles are ridiculous on him. It's just interesting to know a muscled up guy can still have the touch of a jumper and be the best on the team. And the fact
surprised he's playing defense.
It came down to Sam Williams and Tyler Guyton for the jump shot champion. And apparently, there's a pretty legitimate trophy, according to Brian Schottenheimer, for this particular award. So, congratulations, Sam Williams.
The Guyton one doesn't surprise me because he kind of does play football like a basketball player.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
I mean, I would imagine he had a pretty good post game. I don't know if he played for TCU or Oklahoma, but I bet he was a demon. I think he's probably a hooper. I guess Sam Williams would be as well, which, I mean, I think the point still plays here. How could you be that coordinated and not be on offense?
Yeah, that is...
With that athleticism?
Yeah. I mean, Guyton was a basketball player transitioned to football, and he thought that he was the next LeBron James.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he's the next Tyron Smith.
That's weed!
All right, let's go ahead and get you some football quotables before we get to the big time. Kind of ridiculous news out of Indianapolis. Keon White, edge rusher for the Patriots, is talking about the difference between this year and last year. Of course, last year they had Jerod Mayo as the head coach. Now you have Mike Vrabel. And he says, quote, "Now I feel like I have a coach." That's the first statement. He says, "I like Vrabel. He leads with work. I can respect that. It's similar to Belichick, just with a younger face. I think we all know how I feel about that. I liked Bill." And then he also said, "I like Vrabel because he's a hard ass." So big time shots fired at Jerod Mayo right there from one of his defenders. And then let's take you to the number one overall pick, Cam Ward, on how he intends to spend time between Titans minicamp and training camp. Quote, "Just work out, stay in the playbook, and throw the F out of the ball." This dude is he's just dripping with confidence.
He's got the grinder.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
He's a grinder.
We have I heard this in the C block yesterday with Corey Majors. Here's Albert Breer on his report. He was at Titans minicamp. He's talking about specifically with when it was rookie minicamp time, Cam Ward stepping in. He's now the face of the franchise, and this is how he's conducting himself.
You know, that started on a Friday, and on the Saturday morning, a couple coaches come in at the 5 a.m. in the 5 a.m. hour. And there's Cam Ward running a meeting with the rookie tight ends, receivers, backs. They didn't know he was doing it. The coaches didn't. He just brought everybody in early so he could take them through the script for the day, take them through what they were going to be learning on offense. And it was, of course, a sign of, like, work ethic. You know, he's there early in the morning with his teammates. But I think it was also, at least they took it this way, a sign of self-awareness. And so that wasn't for show, because every day that they've had a practice since then, he's had that 5 a.m. meeting with the other, you know, rookie skill position players. I think it's kind of a window into how important it is to him to be in position to get up and running.
I'm just so glad the Giants didn't get him.
Me too, man.
This guy, he's checking all the boxes. That sounds like Kobe stuff, but not like Kobe at 22 years old, but Kobe at like 30, leading the Redeem team in 5 a.m. workouts in Las Vegas. Because not only does it rally everybody, but they know you're taking care of me. You're going to help me look good in front of the coaches here in about 2 hours. This is amazing. But it also kind of sets the tone before the night, but the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, Cam's going to want us there. Maybe we shouldn't go out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That's a great point. And I'm sure Will Levis, who was recently selected to be maybe the franchise guy there, is looking around going, crap, this is what it really looks like to be the man.
What the hell?
And that was one of the big things that Mario Cristobal talked about, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. Like, Cam Ward transfers from Wazoo, steps in immediately, and completely changed the culture overnight there. And the proof was in the pudding for them. They were almost a playoff team, and they had one of the most disgusting defenses you'll ever see in college football. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward was doing a ton of heavy lifting for them, and it was just raving about his leadership and that ability. That's just, it comes extremely natural to him. And like you said, I think the biggest blessing of this offseason when we look back in a half decade is that Cam Ward ended up in the AFC and not in the NFC East.
Yeah, you already have one probably, you know, future All-Pro in Jaden Daniels. Maybe Hurts is an All-Pro in your mind, whatever. He's at least Pro Bowl and at least capable of winning a Super Bowl, so that would have been tough. But you know, this guy, you know, Cam Ward, it does remind me of the Aaron Rodgers movie that I've mentioned a couple of times now, The Enigma, where he's showing up into a new situation as maybe a guy that 98% of people would walk into and be quiet. I'm new. I'm shy. There's about 1% of people that will be super loud. That's how they deal with the stress of being in a new environment. There's another 1% who are the true alphas that are like, I'm here to get work done and lead by example. And if people want to follow me, great. And I think that's Cam Ward. And it's hard, you know, like being a dad of a 13, about to be 14-year-old and seeing them go through that adolescent nervousness of, I don't want to do this because I'm not going to look cool. Mm. I don't want to look like I'm trying too hard. I don't want to look like this. I don't want to look like that. This guy's like, you're damn right I'm a try hard, and you better get on the same page with me because we're going to win. You know, I'm a big believer in everything that I've learned about Cam Ward since really he's been in Miami. I wasn't aware of when he was in Washington State, even though I have a lot of friends that went to that college.
Yeah, I mean, he played in a wing T offense in high school, which is why he wasn't a big recruit. Then he goes to Incarnate Word, and then he develops himself there, goes to Wazoo, transfers to Miami. So this dude's had to work and grind to get everywhere he is right now. So absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what you want in a franchise quarterback. And he crushed everything when it came to this draft process.
I mean, Dak has different leadership that's great. It's going to bring the guys together in a different way. But I think he's a little bit more terse or strict, you know, and maybe a little bit more towards driven for winning.
Okay. The Patriots are going to be unveiling their Tom Brady statue.
Man, I wonder what it's going to look like.
During a preseason game. Wow. Feels disrespectful.
I agree.
We're just a throwaway preseason game, and we're going to unveil the statue. I don't know. That feels like, hey, we're honoring you, but also still kind of bleep you to some extent.
You know, it's the only way he can be there is why they're doing this, because he's working for Fox. He's got a game he's got to do every weekend.
We're going to pull this off on a Thursday. We're going to do this on a Monday. We're no way we're doing this preseason. We got to bail on this plan right now.
I don't know if they have a home Thursday or Monday night game, but that to me would make a lot of sense as to why they're doing this in the preseason.
Okay, we're going to do it at a Tom Brady game.
That's fair.
We got to use our brains here.
Yeah. You know?
We're going to wait till next year when we do have a Monday game.
When he quits.
Yeah.
Probably a matter of time.
Punts on the booth. Yeah, my favorite part of this, though, and I think this is like trying to just show like, hey, this is how it's done. That preseason game is versus the Commanders.
This is how you
honor a player.
Okay.
Yeah, it's preseason.
Walchuk
just gave us the reason why, but the Commanders have botched so many things over the years, including in particular the Sean Taylor quote unquote statue, whatever the heck it was. It was an absolute embarrassment. They were like, this is how you honor somebody. Don't mind the fact that it is a preseason game. This is actually how you do it. I'm sorry?
The Dwayne Wade statue.
That one.
I mean, if it ends up looking something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I kind of hope it does.
It's a good point because Dwayne Wade had his hands on that statue. He felt great about it.
He loved
it. I don't know how much input Tom Brady has had on this particular statue. But nonetheless, I like what they're doing there. Hey, Commanders, if you really want to do it right, this is how you do it. And then maybe my favorite story in the NFL right now is the new Colts owner, Carly Ursay Gordon, daughter of Jim Ursay, the late great now. I don't know about the great. But she wears a headset on the sideline during games.
I saw that picture earlier. I was wondering if I got butt cracked.
I didn't know if it was real.
And she has a call sheet as well. Her quote is from Colts.com. I need to be able to say, quote, like, is this person full of BS? Do they even know what they're talking about? I would suggest it for anyone else who has to pay head coaches and GMs millions and millions of dollars. It helps you make a less expensive mistake.
Wow.
So she's like grading on the fly in real time. She's got the headsets on. She's hearing everything that's going on communication-wise between coach and quarterback and assistants and everything else. And I guess she feels like she knows enough about football to where she can really understand what is taking place and who's dropping the ball here. This isn't just I'm the owner and I think it's fun and I want to do this.
Yeah.
This is I think I might know more football than the people I'm paying to do the football things.
So much for, you know, trusting the people that you've hired to know what they're experts in.
Yeah. It's a far cry from dad, too, because he was just in there just getting crossfaded in the suite, not giving a damn what was going on.
I can't decide if this is owner meddling. Like, if this was Jerry, we'd be like, oh, God, he's getting too involved. Is this owner meddling, or is this, like, you want your owners to care this much that they're going to actually invest the time into monitoring everything instead of just taking the word for it?
Yeah, I guess we'll see how this sort of unfolds. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer here, but she clearly feels good about her football acumen. She can grade it on the fly.
Right on. I appreciate that report. Chia, follow. We'll crosstalk with the Fan After Dark and mix it up, see what Fred and Blake have cooking for you next in the Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Rangers won big earlier today, and that was a lot of fun to watch and listen to here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. We'll be at the Globe tomorrow. And they're going to host the White Sox pregame at 6:30. We'll have Calvin Watkins on from the morning news at 4 o'clock. Of course, we'll have Eric Nadell on, Sands. Hoping for CY. Last time we were out there 2 weeks ago, we talked to CY on a Friday. He's like, hey, when are you guys out here next time? I want to come by again. So I can't promise anything, but we are fingers crossed that we could get CY again tomorrow possibly, as well as you hear the hums of the Fan After Dark guys, Fred and Blake. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Feeling good. You know, a little two-timer this week. I think we were on Monday. Then we're on, obviously, today.
Two times.
I want to say next week we got like five shows.
Something crazy.
We got a good amount of shows, so just enjoying being
ramping back up
on the radio.
Ramping back up.
We West Coasting next week? Is that what's going on?
Must be the case with the Rangers.
I don't think we're West Coasting. They're home.
Maybe it's the week after.
They got Royal Monday. You definitely have a full show. They're off, and then it's Royals in town.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday's a day game, so you'll have Thursday night.
Thursday, little Monday.
And then
Thursday,
I don't know about Friday. Maybe they do fly out.
What's coming up on the show tonight?
Man, I'll tell you what. I mean, where do we start? Although we are going to have Calvin Watkins on. So a little.
You have Calvin Watkins on tonight?
We got him on at 8 o'clock.
Well, that's a little bit awkward.
Yeah, we need to cancel the tease.
We're just going to keep it. It's okay.
Well, I heard you tease that, and I was like, I didn't want to jump in.
Calvin's can be a hard guy to get a hold of sometimes. But he should
radio this week. Blake loves him. Or he loves Blake, or vice versa.
So. As long as you call him.
I just texted him. I said, do you want to be on the show tonight? He said, sure. What time, big man?
And he didn't say anything Oh, that's awkward.
No mention of being on G-Bag tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
I love this. We're going to still keep him on, and then
absolutely.
We're going to ask him about it.
Absolutely, you should.
He's probably drinking and having a cigar.
Well, I mean, if you want, I mean, you know, tune in at 8 o'clock and you'll know what questions not to ask.
That's a or we just ask the exact same question.
Ask the exact same one. See what he says.
Ooh, this could be good.
That's a good one. That's a good one. And I'll try to keep my questions brief.
Uh-huh.
Because Lord knows.
No. We'll write them down and chart them.
I like when you start a question, then you give a take, and then you get into the question again. Before closing down with another take.
We're 3 minutes into this segment, and Fred's still asking questions, and he's already answered 4 of his own midway through said question. So, by the way, I didn't know if you guys knew this or not, and I already know Blake doesn't. Of course, he wasn't even born yet. Actually, in fact, the only person that will appreciate this would be you and myself and Lucia, since we were the only three born. 38 years ago today, Predator came out.
Oh, nice.
Hey, dude, I respect that.
Arnold.
One of the greatest handshakes of all time.
I'm just saying, as far as like age-wise, considering you three weren't even born yet.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
Kill me.
Tell you what. Oh, that's I'm telling you.
I'm here. Do it.
Do it. Tell you what. My goodness.
All-time handshake, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And Dylan?
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously. I thought you were somebody I could trust.
Can you do me the favor? Yesterday I was at my restaurant and I took care of a table. I texted you who it is.
Yes.
But can you deliver?
Can I say who it is?
I think you can say who it is. But I don't know how to pronounce his name correctly.
Oh, Shane McMahon.
Yeah, that was. Is it WWE, right?
Yeah.
Is that Vinny's son?
Vince's son.
Yeah. So
fancy
he was
my restaurant, huh?
So he was my table last night. Five of his little group. Yeah. Super nice. Yeah. Nice. Hefty tap.
I'm sure
tip,
it was.
Hefty tip, 20%.
He showed it to you?
All right.
20% on the tab. No, it was, oh, wow.
You were hoping for the full 100. He just gave you 20%.
Just the tip.
Just to see how it feels.
You know, 20, 25%, whatever, still feels nice in the pocket.
I bet it does.
He's got a power jaw. I'll tell you what, like the jawline on this guy.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, he was a wild man for a while. I mean, that dude literally jumped off that cage.
He's a McMahon.
He is.
Yeah, the apple doesn't fall off the tree. No,
apparently, his mom is like the Secretary of Education.
Yeah, well, for now.
I want to say that's what's going on.
Yeah.
This dude's on roids.
I was a little scared because off the rip.
Why did they try to bury the lead about who his dad was? Well, you may have heard of him, but we don't want to talk about him.
I don't know. When I first went to the table, I was doing my like introduction, who I am, water service, the whole nine. And they just, nobody at the table cared anything of what I was saying. Like,
no.
And then they said, we just want to see the sommelier, Peter, that's his name.
Yeah.
Sommelier goes over there. And so I'm like, not even trying to touch the table, 10 feet. They just want wine. Then when I go back, everyone's ignoring me when I'm doing the mini presentation, except for Mr. Steve, who's like, keep going. I'm sorry, my friends
Steve
aren't
or Shane?
Here. Shane. Okay. Shane, my bad. Shane.
Shane.
Now we know why they weren't paying attention.
Okay, he gave you his tip and everything.
I never called him.
You're clearly a write down the order guy.
I am a write down the order guy.
Yeah. As you should.
I appreciate that.
I always write down the order and repeat back the order.
What percentage of the time when things go wrong are actually your fault in there, Blake? What would you say? Like, honestly.
That same day that I'm referring to, there was two things that I did wrong. So I would say, like, if something were to go wrong, I give myself 12%. It's on me.
Oh, wow.
All right. Not bad. 100%. Sounds like you're killing it.
We all make mistakes.
And growth.
We do.
Okay,
we do.
So Calvin Watkins coming up.
Yeah.
Morning news. Yeah.
Day one of two.
Training camp is
a sequel.
Yeah, he's going back to back with us.
That's it.
The unofficial training camp discussion. After dark coming up 7 to 11. Have a great night, gentlemen. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitz. You just went 3.5 flawless. We went right up to about 3:30 there with the Rangers game. And been just talking sports and basket in their offensive glory since. 16 runs against the Twins, and they'll host the White Sox again tomorrow. For Woolchuck and Chiafalo, Broadus is he's in South Carolina at a wedding, so send him some love on social. He'll be back on Monday. Till tomorrow at 2, we're live at the Globe. You're going home with the G-Bag Nation, Eddies.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Audacy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.